thought existence. But it sort of, I expect the following words to be, meanwhile, back at the ranch. Does anyone else have that kind of thought? I don't know where, someone can enlighten me, but meanwhile, back at the ranch. But it is that kind of sentiment. Meanwhile, there's something else happening. So what is the meanwhile there for? Well, not to kind of dig over too much, what we've had in the rest of this chapter, in fact, I was going to leave it till next week, but I just want to draw your attention to the last word, as I have it translated, in chapter 8. What's the last word in your Bibles? Anyone? It's a place name. Caesarea. Thank you. It's my hearing and your face masks, it doesn't work well. So Caesarea, okay, this is where Philip ends up going to. Just follow the story along, because we kind of read Acts or read other stories as little bits, but there's a theme going on. So at the end of chapter 8, we have Philip reaching Caesarea. Then we have Saul's conversion, and we did this in a few different bits, and Saul is in Damascus, and then eventually ends up in Jerusalem. But we learnt that in Galatians chapter 1, it seems as though when Saul left Damascus, making his great escape, he then spent 1, 2, 3 years off somewhere else, and then eventually ends up in Jerusalem. But it's still recent enough for people to be worried. Saul's back, and he left, and he was persecuting Christians. And what's he going to do now? Well, he gets the defense from Barnabas, and because of some other problems there, we heard and learnt that he had to be whisked away again out of Jerusalem. Now, where does he go? He gets taken to... Anyone following? Anyone speed reading through their Bible? He gets taken, if I can give you a reference then... that's where he ends up. Yes, which verse are you reading from there? Yes, so reading a little bit before, as I have it translated, when the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea. Okay, interesting details. Took him to Caesarea. It is a coastal port, and he gets on a boat and goes up to his hometown in Tarsus, which is northeast Turkey now. So then, meanwhile... back in Jerusalem, we have Philip. We have Peter. And it says that meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place. Now again, looking at the whole context and what else was going on, we have at the end of chapter 8, seven and eight and so on. We have Stephen being accused and eventually stoned, and that prompts believers to be scattered. And it says that believers were scattered, but the apostles stayed behind in Jerusalem. Just a small number. Maybe they were a little bit more tolerant. The Jewish people, leaders, were more tolerant. So we have Peter, one of the apostles. He's hanging around, he's still doing his thing, and at this point, meanwhile, Peter goes out to see other believers, the scattered people. As they've been scattered, let's just bear in mind what Jesus said. I'll be coming back to this right at the end as well. But right at the beginning of Acts chapter 1, What does Jesus say to all his followers there on the mountain, on the mount? He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. People have been scattered. Meanwhile, with all the stuff that's been going on with Saul, Peter goes out on his little itinerant preaching round. And it says he goes from place to place, and he comes down to visit the believers in the town of Lydda. Do you know where that place is? Anyone? You don't know your geography? Now, I had to look it up as well, so don't feel too bad. It's now known, not as Lydda, it's now known as a place called Lod. Fancy living there? You know, these sort of nice place names? Sometimes you get these funny place names that people live in, and so on. Well, it's now called Lod, L-O-D, Lod. It's just a few miles from the airport, just outside Tel Aviv. So if you fly in there at any time, chance would be a nice thing, we might say to ourselves, flying into anywhere. But if you're flying to Tel Aviv, you're going to land just a few miles away from where this first story happened, in Lydda. But just to kind of step back again, Nathan, hold your horses before we get into the meanwhile. It says in verse 31, the church had then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. The church, in its reference here in verse 31, the church doesn't talk about a church. It's one of the few occasions where it talks about the church by way of the connection of this body of believers, the spread of the body of believers. So we have the church, and we have this reference of peace. Well, why are they experiencing peace? Well, Saul's off the scene, isn't he? I mean, he's been converted. And he was the one, he was the protagonist, he was the one that was coming out, and let's get these Christians, let's wind them, round them up, and let's put them into prison. But now, and for a few years, Saul has changed his mind. Found out something else as well. It's difficult to work out the exact years, so I'm not telling you that this happened exactly in this chronological time frame, but it seems round about this time that Emperor Caligulus, I'm not very good at emperor's names, but Caligulus, is that how it's said? He was the emperor from AD 37 to 41. And one of the things that he did in just this short little reign that he had was he set up a clay altar in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, of course, the Jewish leaders didn't really like this very much. This altar was to bring praises to the emperor. But this sounds like a bit of an abomination, doesn't it? The Jewish leaders didn't like it. They dismantled it. And lo and behold, what does the emperor do when he hears about it? He orders for another one to be set up. So the Jewish leaders, they've got their own distractions. This little merry bunch of Christians, this sect of Judaism, that was their least of their worries. So it meant that they didn't have the problems and the hassles that would have come from the Jewish leaders. And they enjoyed a time of peace. Meanwhile, coming back to it, come on, Nathan, you've been speaking for a few minutes already and you're still on the first word. It's all right, it's going to speed up. So meanwhile, Peter goes out and he's going around checking on these little groups of believers in their local towns and villages. And it says that he goes to this town of Lydda, Lod, as we know it now, just a couple of miles, 3-5 miles from the airport. Of course, there wasn't an airport when Peter was there. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Okay, good. So, Peter is there, and he goes and sees this person. Who is it that he sees? Well, he sees Aeneas. Aeneas has been paralyzed for 8 years. Now, what is significant about Peter going to see this guy who's paralyzed? Do we know anything else about Peter and people that are ill? Have we read anything else? Yeah, well, we learnt in Acts chapter 5, so we've got to go back a few chapters, but Acts chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we already read that people thought that even the shadow of Peter coming by them would heal them. Peter, Peter, come over here, just cast your shadow my way. So people knew that he was somehow, through the power and the presence of God with him, that he was able to heal. So people seemingly would go to him, hope that he would pass their way. This time, Peter goes out. He's at Lod, Lydda, and Peter goes to this man. I think it's interesting just recognizing, I know I've said in other stories before, the direction of travel. Who's going to who? And in this story, Peter goes to Aeneas. And what does he say? Peter said to him, this is verse 34, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Do you think those were words that this paralyzed man would want to hear? Jesus Christ heals you. I mean, he's paralyzed. He can't really do much about anything. And suddenly Peter comes along. And maybe he knows about Peter. Maybe he's heard about Peter. I mean, maybe he is a believer of sorts himself. And that's why he was in this group. And Peter comes to him and he sees this man. And he goes to him and he says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. What else is the instruction? Get up. Roll up your sleeping mat. Do we know anyone else who said something similar? Who else has said some words like this? Jesus. And who was with Jesus when he said these kind of words? Peter. Peter has experienced through being with that in the presence of Jesus and seen Jesus. Jesus has healed people. And Peter has been given this power of healing. And he goes there and he sees this man's need and he says, Aeneas, get up. It's time, Aeneas. Get up. Jesus Christ heals you. I look forward to a day when I see that power of the name of Jesus healing people like that. I believe it's coming. Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat. And it says he was healed instantly. So what is significant about a healing? I mean, it was pretty significant for the lame man, wasn't it? The paralyzed man. Very significant for him and probably quite a benefit for his family and maybe friends as well. But what do we get out of this healing? Then the whole population of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking around and they turned to the Lord. When things happen, they aren't just happening for the sake of that person. They are happening for the sake of people learning about Jesus and coming to faith in Jesus. They see that, he hasn't been walking for 88 years or something. Wow. He's healed by, who's that? Jesus. I've heard the stories about Jesus. I want to know more about Jesus. Maybe I can be a Jesus follower too. Things happen in the name of Jesus to bring people to the name of Jesus. So, Peter's there. He's done the healing. He's visiting and encouraging other believers there in, what's the name of the place? Lydda. Lod, as we know it now. And then we roll into the next story. There was a believer in, what's the next place called? Begins with J. Joppa. Anyone know where Joppa is? Yeah, it's a bit further west than where Lydda is. And Joppa is now known by the name of Jaffa. Nice, easy place to remember, isn't it? If you like Jaffa cakes, you're going to remember that place. Okay? I don't know where the name change came from, but Jaffa, well, that's a pretty cool place to live, I think. Jaffa. I live in Jaffa. But there was a believer in Jaffa. And what do we know about this believer? Her name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. Do you know what Tabitha means? The Hebrew name Tabitha, it means, you know, because people have, you know, names have meanings. The Hebrew name Tabitha means gazelle. Yeah, anyone like a name called gazelle? It's kind of springy, bouncy kind of name in my mind. Gazelle. Do you know what Dorcas means in Greek? Yeah, gazelle. So there is this gazelle, there is Tabitha, there is Dorcas, and she has become known for the good things that she does. Have you ever heard of people talk about someone else, maybe someone that you've never even met before? And, oh, so-and-so, and she's so nice, and she does this, and she does that, and she does this, and she does that. And you think, wow, this is a lovely person. There was a believer in Joppa, Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. What we know later on in the story, when Peter does arrive, it says the room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes that Dorcas had made for them. I mean, it's nice to talk about the things, the good things that people do, isn't it? But these must have been special things. I mean, can you imagine people saying, oh, and so-and-so bought some clothes, a nice outfit for someone who is homeless or is poor. And that's a nice thing. But then to say, and look, this suit that I'm wearing, Dorcas made it for me. Isn't it fine? Isn't it made so nicely? And I read this and I kind of realize she didn't just do the minimum to help someone out. She put her heart and soul into this. There was a believer in Joppa named Dorcas, who did many wonderful, kind things for people in need. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby in Lydda, so they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. Why? She's dead. What's the point? You've prepared her for burial. Oh, maybe they're going to get Peter to conduct the funeral service. Is that what it is? She's dead. They've moved her to an upper room. They've prepared her for burial. But before it happens, bearing in mind that this place, they bury them very quickly the same day. You know, we read a story earlier on in Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. That was very much immediate. In fact, the wife didn't even know the husband had been buried. You know, it was very immediate. They prepared her body. They'd laid her body in a room upstairs. And then they called for Peter. He's just a few miles down the road, 5, 6, 7, 8 miles down the road. And he gets this petition, this delegation of two people going out. Hey, Peter, we need you. Dorcas is dead. Peter comes straight away. And what do we get when Peter arrives? He returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, this is verse 39, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the clothes and the other clothes that Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. I wonder if you know any other stories like this. You see, Peter was there that day. When Jairus' daughter, the information came to Jesus that this little girl's ill. And Jesus had started his way to them, and then the news comes. There's a little intervening story of the woman with the issue of bleeding, and she gets healed. And then the news comes. Leave it alone, Jesus. It's too late. Jairus' daughter is dead. And in that story, you'll find it in Mark chapter 5. In that story, originally they start by saying, we're calling you, Jesus, that she might live. She was ill at the time. We're calling you that she might live. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, just have faith. And then the news comes, it's too late. But Jesus says, look, crowd, I want you to wait here. But Peter, James, John, you guys come with me. It says that they make their way. Jesus with his three guys makes their way to Jairus' house. And then Jairus and his wife go in where their daughter body was laying. And it says that Jesus took Jairus' daughter by the hand. And do you know what Jesus says? In fact, if you look in Mark chapter 5, it gives us a translation. And it says that Jesus said, in English we have it translated, little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. Do you know what that is in that language? It says, you'll see it there in your Bibles, because we don't need to find other people reading other languages. It says that Jesus said, Talitha kum. Talitha kum. Little girl, get up. And Peter was there. He saw what happened. He saw what Jesus did. And maybe also in Peter's mind, there were two more stories. There was a story in 1 Kings 17, and verse 19. It talks about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Get my teeth in. And her and Elijah had been staying with them, and her son died, and so on. And there we have Elijah praying over this dead boy. And the boy comes to life. And then his successor, Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 4. We have quite a fascinating story. The Shunammite woman and her son, and Elisha says, "You are going to have a son." And she said, don't get my hopes up, please. Because my husband's old, we haven't had any kids. And sure enough, the son comes along, and sometime later the son complains when he's out with his dad in the field. "Dad, my head," and he gets taken back. And he gets taken back to an upstairs room. And Elisha, when he eventually reappears on the scene, he prays, and the boy gets his life back. Fascinating story. I'll leave it to you to read this afternoon. But to come back to Peter, to come back to Dorcas. Peter had been there with the raising of Jairus' daughter. When Jesus said, "Talitha cum," little girl, get up. I was reading around this, and this story came to mind, thinking about Dorcas, and making a connection. And it was not in a usual my usual sources that I go to get some other background. It was on a different volume, and I felt, okay, I'll pick that off of my shelf, and I looked in it, and there this commentator was making a similar reference to a thought that was going through my mind. Jesus had said to Jairus' daughter, "Talitha cum," little girl, get up. Peter kneels beside Dorcas's bed. He prays, something that happens with all of these raising from the dead. He prays. Maybe he's asking God, is this going to happen this time? And then what does Peter say? "Get up, Tabitha." The commentary that I read points out there is one letter difference. Jesus said, "Talitha cum," little girl, get up. Peter says, "Tabitha cum," Tabitha, get up. And she wakes up. It says, I'm not surprised, I kind of would love to see this dramatized or even a sort of flashback to the reality of the situation. It says, "And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up." I'm not surprised. She's just been dead, she's kind of waking up, and she sees this bloke in a room. She sits up, and what does it say? He takes her by the hand and helps her up, and reintroduces her to all those who were grieving. Another amazing story, just like that guy that was paralyzed. But what happened with the guy that was paralyzed? What was the outcome? People saw him and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know what happened with Dorcas, with Tabitha? People saw her. Word spread. Let's read it, not just my words. "Then he called in the widows and and all their believers, and he presented her to them alive. The news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord." That's new people. You know, if you're a believer in the Lord, you're not going to suddenly believe in the Lord, because you already believe in the Lord. Many believed in the Lord because they suddenly see something that has happened. This guy who heals, who brings people back to life because of the name of Jesus. Things happen to us in our lives, not just to benefit us, but to bring other people to faith in Jesus. Just to finish the story, because it's going to launch us into next week. It says, "The news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a tanner of hides. Anything significant? I'm finishing up now. Anything significant about staying with Simon? Peter stayed with Simon. What was Peter's other name? Simon. So Simon stays with Simon. And it's not a simple Simon game. But Simon, Peter stays with Simon, who is a tanner. According to Jewish ceremonial law, most of his life he lives ceremonially unclean because he's dealing with dead bodies, animal bodies. Yet, this is a little bit of a run-up, whether Peter realizes it or not, to what is going to happen next. Peter stays with Simon, the tanner of hides, for quite some time. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 again. Jesus' words, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. Things happen in our lives not just to benefit us, but as a witness to other people. The healing of the paralyzed man happened and people believed. The resurrection of Tabitha happened and people believed. Just after Jesus said those words, you'll be my witnesses, the angels came to that group of people on that mountainside and said, what are you looking up in the clouds for? This same Jesus who left like this will return like this. We match those two things together and we can conclude and realize that Jesus is coming back. In the meantime, we get to tell the stories and witness for Jesus. God bless you all.
Thank you for that message this morning.